Today I'm going to talk about how to know God's will. This is a basic subject, but it's a subject I struggle with. It's a basic subject most people struggle with. And in my early 20s, I'm 53, so 30 years ago, man, I struggled with this. I wanted to know the big picture of how to know God's will. I was a very introspective person, almost to the point of insanity, of looking in. Am I doing right? Am I doing what God wants me to do? I wanted so much to please God. I drove myself crazy and people around me. My natural bent is an analytical person. It's a teacher. So I gathered up all the books. I bought all these books, found all these books I could find on how to know God's will. It was probably a stack this high. I'm not kidding. One of them was over 400 pages. And I look back and I go, why did it take 400 pages to tell you how to know God's will? If you have to read that to figure out God's will, something's wrong. But it did help me, so there's rewards there. We worked through all that. I boiled it down, after much soul searching, to 6 words. Now I'm going to talk about those 6 words. And you do these 6 words in this order. So I struggled, went through it, tried to do it, prayed before God, etc. This was a process not of a week. This was probably a process of a year or 2 years. And I've been following these same 6 words for 30 years. Now you can see sometimes they're hard to figure out and they're ambiguity. But so if you take no other notes today, take these 6 words down. And you do these in this order. It's been my experience, and I think you can prove biblically, and we'll talk about it today real quick, how to know God's will, and it has helped me for 30 years. Because we all want to know how to know God's will. And then, time be given, I'll give 3 tips at the end. The first one is obviously the word Bible. It says in 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given. 2 Timothy 3:16, by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, there are commandments and principles in the Bible that if the Bible says it, you do not need to ask God whether it's His will. Now, there's quite a few things that are general guidelines, and you'll need to move on to the second one, and we'll talk about that. But let's just take an example. You know, one of the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not commit adultery. You never have to ask God if an affair is all right. And if you come to me and go, if this is, you know, is God's will, we don't even have to pray. Okay, it's that simple. Now, y'all laugh, but I've been married 28 years, every day perfect, but I have heard that sometimes guys, girls go, my needs are just not being met here. And you can put whatever that is, emotional needs, physical needs, financial needs. I wonder if I should have married this person. It's too late to ask that question. Amen. If you're married, it's done in God's eyes. If you married the wrong one, repent. Thank Him that this is now the right one. And He's going to bless it and make it happen. You may drive the hell out of each other before it's over with. But somewhere before you end, you'll be two white cherub angels. And you're going, thank God, His grace is good. But those times when your wives or your husbands are not meeting those needs, it's so funny. It's not funny. It's sad. Just somehow or another. I'm not saying it's the devil. But something happens that somebody you think would meet those needs, you just sort of meet. Have y'all heard of those stories? I've heard of them. Okay. They might meet your needs, but is it God's will? No. Needs do not make the will of God. That's just the bottom line. Amen. Matter of fact, your spouse is not supposed to meet all your needs. Nobody is that good.
Amen. Amen to that, brother.
You know, I know there's a partnership here, and I know, don't get me weird, that there are things that happen there and there are needs. But if you're looking to your spouse to meet your needs, you're going to die looking. Well, they're a jerk. Well, pray that they get jerkless, okay? Pray that the Holy Spirit comes on them. And if they're doing stuff, you know, that's not a fun marriage. I'm making a joke about it. It's not fun. But that's between them and the Lord. You're not going to change them. Nagging, harassing will not help. There are things you can do, and I don't want to make light of it. And we do marriage counseling here. And I don't do it because I'm not very good at it. Now you know why. Now, okay, here's a principle out of Scripture. Proverbs 22, 26, and 27. See, in the Scriptures, there's commandments, then there's principles that are wise things. Let me change it. I was going to do the one about co-signing a debt. I got a better one, although I can't remember the passage. What's the Scripture? Maybe some of you know. For parents, don't provoke your children to wrath. Ephesians 6. That's really not, I'm moving by the Spirit. That's just Craig changing his mind, trying to figure out the best illustration. But who knows? Ephesians 6, do not provoke your children to wrath. Well, that is a great verse. We're to do that, but that's a little bit more nebulous than don't commit adultery. When you commit adultery, it's very obvious. My children often get mad at me when I'm even doing the right thing. So how do I know when I'm provoking them to wrath? We're going to have to stay close to the Holy Spirit to figure out how a change in their spirit from just disobedience to, it's usually they've been hurt. And they respond out of hurt instead of responding out of rebellion. You know the difference? Well, it's hard, isn't it? And so, but that's one of those principles. It's a godly thing, but we've got to stay close to the voice of the Holy Spirit, the second word. Every one of you, Christianity 101 should be how to hear the voice of God. And we've taught that here on and off. Maybe we'll teach it again here soon. Is how to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Romans 8:14. Those who are the sons of God are led by the Bible. Spirit of God. That's not what it says, is it? It says they are led by the Spirit of God. The Bible is extremely important. We just put it first on the list. These are the things he's written down. He says, I'm not going to repeat them again. He may repeat them. But these are the things that it's like jumpstart. So hearing the voice of God is extremely important. And it's a huge subject. 1 Kings 19:11-12. I'm not going to go into it, but this is Elijah. He says, I speak to you in a still small voice. 1 Kings 19:11-12. And this is so true in my life. I've never heard the audible voice of God. Many people have. But that is not the primary way that he leads you as a Christian, so don't expect it. If it happens, it happens. But why would he yell at you from out, or speak loudly to you from out here when he's inside here? We often use the Old Testament pattern when there was always angelic presences and there was the audible voice of God. And God can speak to you however he wants to. I'm not downplaying it. I'm just telling you the primary method. Why did he do it there? That's not the pattern for the New Testament. They did not have the Holy Spirit. Amen. He had to speak audibly from them because all they had was their five senses. But when he moves inside of you, he says, this is the way I want to speak to you. Now, sometimes there are audible voices. It's usually when something's got to happen now, or you're in a crisis situation, you're in a bad place, and if you don't get it and get it fast, something bad's going to happen. Amen. Now, I've never heard the audible voice, but I had one that was pretty close. Years ago when I had a motorcycle, I was making a left-hand turn off a side road, and I was making a left-hand turn onto a road that had two lanes, you know, going forward. And I was moving to the outside lane. That's just usually what I did, because I like to be over there when I'm on a motorcycle more. It's less things going past you. And so I was already in the middle of the intersection, turning left, going to the outside, and I heard, it was not an audible voice, but it was very close, move to the inside now. And I did. It was almost as I was in. I moved. I quickly just adjusted. And a car had run the red light and was going through the red light on that, in that outside lane. And so those kind of things can happen. There's dreams. He says he speaks to us in dreams, speaks to us in visions. Those are all the voice of God. But the primary way is that still small voice. Be open to all of them, but especially this. Now, this is the challenge. You have to slow down to listen to a still voice. Still means he's not running. And you have to slow down enough to hear the small voice because he's not real loud. And that's the importance of solitude. That's the importance of meditation, biblical meditation and quiet times. And you can, even in, and I'm trying to get there. I'm not doing a great job. But in the middle of stress, in the middle of work, always be ready to hear the still small voice wherever you're at. And that's a growing process. But that small voice is important. I know... Well, let's just move on to the next one. We've got six to go through. Counsel. Proverbs 15:22. Plans fail for lack of counsel, but with many advisors they succeed. Proverbs 1:5. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. So this is what I do. Does the Bible give guidance? That's your will. It's just as simple as that. Well, don't we need to discuss it anymore? You're asking me if you can rob a bank because your bills are not being met. Well, one of the Ten Commandments is, "I shall not steal." No, you cannot do that. Don't we need to pray about it? That's an extreme example, but I'm trying to make a point. No, we don't need to pray about it. He's already spoken to us. That's his word, just like the still small voice. Well, am I provoking my children? Well, let's... Is God convicting you? Yeah, because I'm asking the question. Well, maybe get with some parents then whose fruit of their children you want your children to imitate. Don't go to somebody that's their children are worse than yours. Why? Because that's pretty straightforward. Because then your kids may turn out like theirs. Do you want that? And say, your children seem a little more peaceful than mine. How come? And you know, you can't expect, it may be their behavior, but some of the stuff is just temperaments of kids. And then they can say, well, this kind of kid, I've got three kids from three different countries. Only one of them can I blame it on my wife's genetics. Y'all know I'm kidding, don't you? The other two, different generational spirits, different cultures, all that plays in there. Man, I have sought the Lord more than you can imagine. It's like, where did that come from? Susan looked at me and go, not me. And I'm like, her, not me. And I said, we're both right. So there's times for wise counsel. And ask people that have accomplished something in that area. That's a big deal. I've seen a lot of people go for counseling, and they just want to complain and gossip, and they find somebody that agrees with them. Well, that may make our flesh feel good. It ain't going to help your problem. Now, this is the hard part. Now, well, let me back up. When you go to wise counseling... I've had a lot of people over the years as a pastor go, I don't want to go for counseling, I'll have to do what they say. And I'm going, where did you get that? It's counsel, it's not commands. You're still responsible to go to the Lord and figure out what to do with it. And if you come to me for counsel or guidance, or I'm just going to tell you what I've found in my experience. If it's an area, there's some areas you'll come and ask me and I'll go, I can't help you, man. I have no wisdom in this area, you know. It's still up to you to take it before the Lord, but there's no reason to reinvent the wheel if we don't have to. The second thing, the first thing is, don't. It's not a commandment, it's counseling. The second thing is it takes humility. Because you're admitting to somebody else, I don't have it all together. Well, this is the thing. Everybody around you knows that you don't have it all together. So might as well come out of the closet, okay? As Paul says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. And some people have been waiting a long time for you to ask them their wisdom. I'm making a joke, but you get the point. And you know, when you say you don't have it all together or you don't have the answer, it actually elevates your position in their eyes, because secretly they know they don't have it all together, and it makes them realize, oh, I'm not the only one. Now, sometimes they don't have to be a big decision. For many years, I went overseas, usually about twice a year. In early 2007, we took our last missions group with some group of men down to the Dominican Republic. And then the second opportunity for a trip that came up, and I was starting in my spirit to know, well, things are changing a little bit, although I loved going overseas. I just didn't enjoy going anywhere, Augusta or whatever. I like traveling between churches, just sort of the way I am, although I miss wherever I'm not. But I felt it was changing. There were some circumstances I needed to give extra attention to here. And so I don't know if Jan and James Darine's actually teaching in Calhoun today. Y'all probably don't even remember this, but I don't remember if it was, I think it was after that missions trip. I got them together and said, you know, basically what I felt about missions and should I go. I think it was Bulgaria. Should I go to Bulgaria? They all unanimously said no, which is not the answer I wanted to hear. It was a very short meeting. You'll probably don't even remember that meeting. And I just said, okay. Inwardly, I knew it was a confirmation. And I did not go overseas for 4 years. Because it was just a season. Things changed. Needed to be here. Well, I did not like that wise counsel. But I knew it was God. They probably didn't even realize. I think they did realize it, how big of a deal it was. But so it's not necessarily crises, it can be guidance for the future. And that was the right thing to do, even though for 4 years I had to keep laying that at the cross. See, things are at different seasons and different times. And sometimes you just need other people to speak into areas that you're blind to necessarily. I mean, I knew I was being led there, but it's something I love doing. The more prophetic you are, and the more you can see things and God gives you dreams and visions, the bigger your blind spot is. You had better surround yourself with people that are not yes men, or you will have major flaws. God does that on purpose, because with a greater vision, He also keeps you dependent on something. Rick Joyner, we're under that ministry, Morningstar Ministries. Rick Joyner is very prophetic. How many of y'all have ever heard of him? I've heard him say many times, I'm an associate minister in that ministry, heard him say many times, he says, some people say I have a great prophetic gift, but I want to tell you today, in terms of my own family and leading it, it's a huge blind spot. I've got to surround people around me to tell me how to do this. He says, I've gone to the Lord many times, and the Lord says, this keeps you dependent on me and not letting these other things exalt you more highly than you think you ought to be. No one person has the whole part. That's one of the biggest messages the charismatic movement has got to get. And they're getting it. We're getting it here. We all prophesy in part. We all know in part. And if we're loners, you're going to fail in some part. That's why we see so many charismatic churches with senior leadership that is basically an autocracy or dictatorship. They got to have people they will listen to that are not yes men around them. They honor your gift, but they're not enthralled with your gift. You see the difference? They respect their gift, but at the same time, they realize you're a human and don't put it too high. We always respect the gifts, and we respect the person of the gifts, but we also realize balance, spirit, and truth there. Everybody needs wise counsel. Next word. So, what I do is, what does the Bible say? It's not clear. Or I don't know how to implement it. I go and pray. It says, you have not because you ask not. Ask. It's so amazing. In most of my counseling over the years, people come to counseling. I can't tell you, way over 50%. I'll say, what is the Lord telling you about this? I've never asked Him. It's we've never been taught, have we? It's not a negative thing. It's just we've never been taught. Ask. Many times I'll go away and pray for a week, and then we'll come back. Usually during that week, the Lord gives them something, a direction to go that'll help them in that direction. Because see, I'm not the Messiah; He is. That's one good thing about rotating teachers. It keeps a little bit. It keeps the guy on the pedestal down. I've been close to many leaders. They're just the same as me and you. God just said, "This is what I want you to do," and giving them a great gift. But He's not giving you any less of a gift.
Amen.
We all have a gift. They're just in different arenas.
Right. Amen.
And if you live with me, for many people are close to me. If you live with me for any length of time, you'll know He struggles with this X, Y, Z. Maybe once a year is all. I'm just kidding. Just ask my kids. I thought I was a very unselfish, giving person until I got married. I mean, have you ever been there? And then, my gosh, I love my wife, but selfishness came out. Now, it was about 10 years before we had kids, and we started to get the hang of it after 10 years. Most of the hell, at least half of it, was beat out of us the first 10 years. Okay, we started getting in the groove, and man, I got this down. I'm not selfish anymore. Then we had Abigail, who had colic for 3 hours every night for 9 months and would only sleep 3 or 4 hours at a time.
Wow.
You only think you're not selfish when you're in that situation. And you go, God, crucify me now so we can get this colic over with, you know? You know, I'm not saying it's God's will, but it does expose stuff in you, doesn't it? Now, I never got mad at her. I just got exhausted.
Yeah.
And then we had Grace. We adopted her. Before I got deliverance and baptized in the Holy Spirit, I had a real severe anger problem. I got delivered, baptized in the Holy Spirit. It was a demonic spirit tormenting me. Of course, it feeds on whatever you gave into over the years. I never really had a problem with it. It resurrected when that little girl came along. I never thought I had an anger problem. But it took that much to push in. And God's like, see, it's still there. I want to work on you. Well, work on her. Don't make me mad. Let her not do anything and get angry. I will work on her, but we're going to work on you. That's not fair. There's a house in my door. There's a door in my house. There's a door in my house. If you look at it closely, next time you're over there, one of the little hangouts we have, it was one of those six-panel doors, but it was hollow. I put my fist through that door.
Wow.
No, it was too hard. I cracked the door. I'm not that much of a man, but I cracked the thing enough that you can still see the putty where I had to put over there. That was to keep me from hitting a 2.5-year-old. Well, did she have problems? Yeah, we all had problems, but I had the bigger problem. And so, what does this have to do with circumstances? I really don't know. That was a great little subject. So, moving on to circumstances. We need to hurry and get through here. Oh, we've got desire next. You know which one it is. Circumstances. So, the Bible, the voice, the counsel, circumstances can lead us. Now, I'm going to heavily qualify this. And I've got to speed up here. What I'm talking about circumstances is closed doors. And I'll qualify that with open doors that's hard to get through. Closed doors, many times you will say, okay, this is what I know I need to do. Bible doesn't disagree with it, encourages it. I feel the voice of God about it. Wise counsel says do it. Say you're going to go to take a new job. Trying to pray through all that. As soon as you walk towards taking that new job, they rescind the offer. It's obvious then. The door is closed. Now, you could say, I thought that was God's will. You know it might be, but the timing may be off. Or that just may be how He leads you. Now, this is the frustrating part. Just to be honest, doing this for 30 years. Many times you go through all three, and then the door closes, and you go, why did you take me through all these three? Why couldn't you have told me up at number two? I have no idea. That's as honest as I can get. I have no idea. You can ask Him that when you get to heaven. Or He may tell you later. I'm just being honest with you. That's how it goes. Walk through these things. Doors being closed can be God leading it. Now, I've heard this is the true story of somebody that was trying to buy a house. This is the house we should buy. I don't remember the number. Say it was $200,000. It was a little stretch for them. They felt it was God. They go there. They don't qualify for the loan. Now, these people did good. They didn't get mad at God. We usually, at this stage, when it does, the door closes, we get mad at God. You just got to go, there are some things I just do not understand. Maybe he'll tell me, but he's not obligated to tell you. He's just obligated to give you the peace which surpasses all understanding. But you got to go into him and not get mad first. Found out later, it's like several, I don't remember the details now, this was many years ago, several months later, that people selling the house had many offers fall through. And they lowered it by a substantial amount. And then they got the house. Okay, you don't know. Now, open doors or doors that you know to go through that are hard does not mean it's not the will of God. Usually it is the will of God. There are dreams and there are destinies in each one of you. And it is not going to come without a price. Because if it was easy, it would have already been done. And the devil's not going to just let you do it, because to use it at macroeconomics word, in the kingdom of God, it's a zero-sum game, which means this. If God gets something, somebody had to lose something, which in this case is the devil. So many times, you'll start moving out, and you go, oh my goodness, this is hard. It's like walking through mud and like walking through quicksand. Welcome to expanding the kingdom of God. Sometimes it's easy, but the bigger it is, it can be hard. Let me give you an example. 4 years ago, my brother, his dad, started a software development company. And me and David are part of it, small company, 6 people. I knew it was the will of God. Many times over the years, I knew it was the will of God. It'd be 4 years in October, end of October. But let me tell you, it has not been easy, has it, David? Now, we've accomplished some great things in the software world. It's in Chattanooga. We're now considered the leading software web designer. And I'm not talking about like static pages. I'm talking about businesses, running businesses, heavy-duty websites. We do smaller ones, but our bread and butter is ones that are for startups, etc. We've become really the only one in Chattanooga now. The other one closed down. And it's the go-to one. We've started many startups and been a part of that. And then, of course, they take it over and go. So the Lord's blessed that side of it financially. It's about killed us. It's just not been easy. And so many times I go, God, is this your will? And I'd get an inner confirmation that it was. But it's hard. And you go every day, okay, Father, we're not getting paid on time. We're 3 paychecks. We're not talking 3 weeks behind on paychecks. We're talking 3 paychecks behind many times. And in January, the Lord gave me a word for Brian. We did it together. I said, God says this year, things are going to change, but you have got to have the faith to do it and believe for faith. And so in January, I shared that word with him. I don't think you know this, but we went into the office and prayed over the office and just believed. And for the next 7 months, we got killed financially. But I just told him, I said, something's going to happen this year. We just have to stand on that. It hadn't happened for that before then. I said, it's going to happen by faith, or we can get no credit. Some people from... So this is the hard circumstances. I'm trying to show you how it is to walk out the will of God. Even though these are the steps, sometimes it's hard to walk out. And then in July, a little bit bigger company than ours, 11 people from where Brian and David knew them from the past, came out of the blue, unsolicited, and said, we want to merge with you. We'll catch you up on your back pay, et cetera, et cetera. I won't go on the details. September the 1st, we got our first regular paycheck in 18 months. That was full. Full on time. First time it happened in 18 months. Wow. Now, we still got to walk out some stuff, but I'm like, thank you, Jesus. This is an improvement. This is great. But that was just out of nowhere, the faith of God. Sometimes you just have to, you're just totally dependent on him, and you're just having to go, Father, what do you do? This is hard. Hardness does not mean it's not his will. It means he considers you strong enough and mature enough to carry out this heavy assignment. If it's an easy assignment, that's good. But it also shows that it's not requiring a lot of you of walking with him. The dreams and destinies that you have in Him will not come easy. It's hand-to-hand combat, but it's worth it. Because it advances His kingdom, advances His name, and it causes us to die even more to ourselves. All right. I need to speed up here. And I'll do this real quick. This one right here, desire. Write that word down. It was the key I needed 30 years ago. The Bible says it's good or doesn't say. You don't get anything on His voice. There are many decisions I don't get anything. Counsel says whatever. It doesn't really matter. Circumstances are not being closed. Now this, you've gone through these four steps. That means you've pressed into God. Your heart's after God. You've sucked the word. This is what I'm going to tell you. I would not have told you this 30 years ago. He will let you do whatever is your desire. Why? Your heart's pure, you're mature, and He doesn't care. He gives you, the more mature you get in the Lord, He gives you responsibility. Let's pick on a... Oh, I can't ever think of people's names when I'm preaching. What's your daughter's name? Caitlin. Y'all all know that. Whenever I'm proud, I can't remember. Caitlin, you got a car, what, a year ago? 2 years ago? 6 months, whenever it was. I remember seeing your new car. We're going to use her as an example. I'm sure you, somewhere along the way, you and your parents said, hey, I want a car. You go to the Bible and says, can Caitlin have a car? It doesn't say. If you come to me, I would have made you have a donkey. So good thing that you're with Jeff and Gina there. You pray about it. It's fine. You know, circumstances, counsel, you know, it's fine. You know, nobody, you know, they say, well, we want it within this range. We, you know, it's $10,000 to $25,000 or whatever your price range was. You know, and no 400 horsepower Camaros or whatever. I don't know. They give you some counsel and some guidelines. Now, I'm going out on a limb here. Did they tell you exactly which car to buy? Down to the color and... No. Why? Because they don't care. You've been raised with some smarts. And they trusted you. They said this parameter because that's probably what they could afford or you could afford. I know you make work and make the payments, but you understand what I'm saying. It came down, what do you desire? Blue car, red car, green car? There are many decisions God doesn't care and say, you know, I'll be happy and blessed whichever one you get. I don't know about you, but that set me free 30 years ago. Why? Because He trusts you and there's a level of maturity. Now, if you had a 4-year-old baby brother, would he get to pick out any car? No. And it's the same way with the Lord with us. I'll bless whatever you do because your heart's after me and it's all the parameters are there. And so if you walk through all these steps and it's down to the blue car or the red car or whatever, you know what I'm talking about. You can trust the Holy Spirit in the in your desire inside of you. He says, I'll give you the desires of my heart. Now, I've seen that so messed up. Why? Because that's number one instead of number four. You make it number four, it's okay. Because you've been seeking God after all of this. Well, you're down to the blue car or the red car. And so number six comes up. And you're not sure which one, and the desires is not leading you. Well, number six is really sort of a hard one, because really six should be on the side, and should be there all of the time. Six, don't ever make a decision without having peace about it. If you don't have peace about it, sometimes we call it a check in our spirit. Have you ever heard that phrase? I've gone through all this, I really like the blue car, but for some reason I'm just not supposed to do it right now. Don't do it. Let me give you this verse. You need to write this verse down. This is a foundational verse on the will of God, Colossians 3:15. I'm going to read out of the Amplified. It says, and let the peace, I'm going to skip the Amplified part, and let the peace from Christ rule as an umpire in your hearts. This is a big deal. Never violate this peace. Deciding and settling with finality all questions that arise in your minds. I can't tell you how many times I walked with God, all these things line up, but there's just something, I just don't feel at peace to do it. Don't do it then. If you can. Sometimes you've got to make a decision, but if you can wait, wait. The peace is a big deal, and that doesn't mean stress-free. That doesn't mean chaos-free. Because I know some of the decisions I'm going to make are going to cause some chaos or lots of changes. That's not the kind of peace we're talking. We're not talking external peace. We're talking internal peace. We've got to learn the difference. It's a big deal. Y'all got that? Y'all like those six steps? Real quick, three extra points to finding God's will. Try to walk with Him all the time. There have been times in my life before I could find God's will, I had to get right with God. Okay, then just try to be as right as you can all of the time. It will make it, you can hear that still small voice quicker. You know, it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. It's talking about two people. Do the same with the Holy Spirit. We can grieve Him all the time. Ignoring Him is grieving Him. Two, beware of making a decision based on restlessness. Y'all know what I'm talking about? How many of us, we just got restless, we wanted to change, and later we go, why didn't I just sit and wait for a week?
Yes, sir. Amen.
I'm still making mortgage payments on that thing. Or loan payments on that thing. Now, this is the challenge. Before God gets ready to move in your life, you start feeling a restlessness. And that's Him saying, we're about to change come. That's the most crucial time to make sure you slow down. Because you'll be tempted by the wrong thing to get rid of the restlessness.
Yeah.
Number three, this is something I've learned many times over the years. If in doubt, wait. Sometimes you can't, but if in doubt, wait. Y'all can stand. Let me read to you this great verse we use a lot, Jeremiah 29:11. So remember those six words. Maybe I'll do a blog on them or something. It's probably good as our memory. If you need stuff to read, there's like 14 books. Some of them are out here in the front on the website. There's quite a few articles. If you go over to my website, there's like over 200 blogs there. And I usually try to keep them to 500 words. Not all of them are that way. But they're just good little tidbits, things like this. Like I'll probably summarize this into one blog in about 300 or 400 words, and just you can just sort of remember it. And Jeremiah 29:11. And I tell you, after 30 years, 40 years of following God, this is true. Y'all all know this verse. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, say me.
Me.
Saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil. A bedrock foundation theological truth that we believe in here is God is good.
Yeah.
He's not out to get you.
Amen.
Why? Because if He was, He would already gotten you.
Right.
You ain't that good at hiding. He can find where you're at. So those that say God's out to get you, I'm like, dude, He's a pretty weak God because I'm still here. Okay? Then shall you call upon me, that's number two there, the voice, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will speak unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Those are those steps sort of line up, the Bible, the voice, the counsel, the circumstances. You're trying to seek them in other people. Because sometimes the Word of God is in other people. I want to hear it just from Him. Well, that promotes arrogance. Many times He does. But when I have to go to James and hear it through him, or somebody I don't even like, at least I like James. But you know how some personalities, you know you have to love them, but there ain't no way you're ever going to like them.
Amen. That's exactly.
Y'all know what I'm talking about? Am I the only one that's ever... Okay, maybe I'm the only one. God likes to speak through people like that. And I go, God, thank you for the humility. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for every person here that they are growing and hearing your voice, knowing their place, and growing in what you put them here on earth for. Where, Father, this is it. This is the word of, if you want a word. I pray over every person, if you want this, grab it, that they will not leave this earth until every good deed, as Ephesians 3:20 says, has been accomplished and they know it. Father, no one here dying and saying, why was I on earth? Father, I thank you. Every person here, they're going to exit this earth in peace, saying, I have done my part. In Jesus' name. If you need prayer this morning for any specific thing, then as we usually do, a good tradition we have, we'll be over here. We'll pray over you, bless you. If you get a word for us, you can pray it over us. Amen. I love you guys.